Hi, welcome to our podcast, Photography and Business Insight, What It Takes to Be Successful. This is Alyssa Conley, and with me is...
I'm Dita.
And, well, everybody knows me, but I'm David. And Dita's going to be leaving us soon.
Yes.
Who are we going to get to write our blog for us? So I'm going to actually step back a little bit. I've actually gotten to get back to my roots.
Oh, wow. Yes, that's right. You got the 4x5 camera.
Yay, my 4x5 from Kickstarter finally showed up. The IntrepidCameraCompany.com. They're out of the UK, and it only took 2.5 years, but they made this wonderful 4x5 camera made out of wood.
Whoa.
And
I'd love to have a look at it.
Yes, it's actually very beautiful.
That's right. You didn't get to see it yet.
Most 4x5 cameras are so heavy to drag around. I've done that in the past and just gave up on it eventually. So I placed an order on a whim. I think I was in New York about 2.5 years ago, and for Photo Expo, and I was staying over at my son's house and saw this as I was kind of looking through Kickstarter and said, oh, what a neat idea. And it was like $249. I was like, you know, for $250, I'll take a shot. I did, and you know, it took a long time. I was in no rush, very patient, and it finally showed up about a month or so ago. And I, in the meantime, had purchased a couple of lenses. I bought two Schneider lenses, a 150 and a 210, and I bought about 8 backs. I can basically make about 16 shots.
Whoa.
Had started digging through what do I still have in my old refrigerator downstairs that's running, that actually still has film in it. I found a box of Ilford HP5 film, and I think it had about 85 sheets in it or something. It was from my old main workshop days. This probably has to go back 10, 15 years, 20 years. Yes, film lasts that long, and it doesn't expire no matter what everybody says. Well, maybe color does, but black and white tends to just stay. And anyway, as I've dug through it even more, I've actually discovered a bunch of sheets that I didn't or haven't had a chance to or didn't develop at the time. So I actually processed some of that last night, and believe it or not, the exposures are still there.
Oh,
wow.
Surprise, surprise. So wow. I'm going to be very surprised with some of what I get out of that. But I did have a chance to play with it over July 4th weekend, and now just starting to get around to processing. I went out on eBay and I bought a Jobo 4x5 tank, and bought a new Patterson tank that holds up to 5 120 reels or 8 35 millimeter reels, and have been using the Sprint development system because I'm trying to eliminate the smells from Kodak Fixer and Kodak D76. As much as I love those two chemicals, my nose doesn't. So, what else I've been doing this summer? Well, those have been my big things since, unfortunately, I've been unable to do a workshop as badly as I've really wanted to go and do that. Our son is getting married in a couple of weeks. Needless to say, we all know when that comes along in one's life, all the money that you make goes towards the wedding. So, there goes the workshop this summer. But I've been able to kind of create my own little workshop and, like I said, get back to my roots, and I'm actually having a lot of fun.
Great. So how long did it take you to get used to loading film again?
Well, let's see. The first time I started loading film, it was actually 4x5. Of course, what I should have done is I should have cannibalized a sheet just to practice with. But no, I didn't do that. I just decided that I was going to leap right in, and of course hadn't played with a 4x5 tank and reel in, like I say, probably about 15 years. 20 years. So I decided that, and I'm not that old, folks, I started early. I threw it all in a big, giant black bag, and needless to say, to load 4 sheets of film, would it take me around 45 minutes or something?
I think that's what you said, yes. Yes, it's funny how when you do something on a regular basis for a long time, and then you stop for many years, you suddenly lose that skill, and can be very frustrating to try and do something that you used to be able to do so proficiently, and all of a sudden your hands had to, well, they lost the muscle memory on how to do it.
Is that what it is? I thought I just lost my brain.
I'm hoping to take a class on photography next semester and learn about everything you all just spoke about.
Ooh, she's going to learn how to crawl before she learns how to walk. This is a good thing. So you're going to learn about learn how to make images in your head
before
you actually make them in the back of your camera. And you're going to see all these images that are going to like leap into your brain. And then you're going to have to learn how to translate what's in your brain and in your eyes onto what you see in the back of the camera.
Sounds exciting.
It's very exciting.
It is.
I mean, honestly, that's the school of, you know, thought that I come from. Yeah. It's what I was raised with, to
pre-visualize. Yes.
Be able to understand and think about what the shot that you're going to make, what you want to make before you actually make it. And in fact, that's what I did this afternoon with a portrait that I had to make for a client. It's in a very unusual environment, company environment, but it was a very unusual shot in that I had to make a portrait where the person was in focus, but the background was completely out of focus. I mean, like, not something you would even create in Photoshop. It actually had to be made that way.
Mm-hmm.
And without going into incredible detail, the instructions I was given was exactly that. I asked them, okay, so how do you do that? Well, they said, well, you know, we shoot it with a 300 millimeter lens. I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think I've ever done a portrait with a 300 millimeter lens before, because I was always taught that you either use an 85 or you use a 105. And that gives you proper one-to-one ratio in terms of the spacing for faces and body. And, well, in this case, this is what they wanted. And they also wanted it light and airy, and they wanted it shot wide open. Yet they still wanted the subject in focus and clear.
Which is a challenge when your depth of field is that limited and you're shooting from a distance.
What depth of field? So I was actually able to pull it off. They gave me very specific instructions. They gave me some sample photos to look at. It worked out. I did the photo, and in fact, I did it twice. I did it where I was in the corner. I was in a conference room and photographing from the actual doorway all the way across to where the subject was against the back wall where the windows were. And of course, there were cars in the parking lot, so I had to kind of work around the vehicles. And thank God it was overcast here today, not bright and sunny, which helped a bit. Although at one point the lighting got a little dimmer, so that I kind of had to recompensate. But anyway, long story short, I was able to achieve the exact same look the client was looking for. And in one shot, there was kind of a reflection of a darker piece of metal. And after we looked at it and did the shot, I was like, you know, can we just try this one more time? And he was game. It was, in this particular case, it worked out. And I went and readjusted just slightly, so instead of it being dark, a dark strip, it was kind of a lighter strip. And it actually worked out much better.
Oh, good.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my client, who hired me, both of these images, which are the exact same, except there's just a slight variation in the background, and let them pick which one they want. And rather than, you know, spend all this time in Photoshop trying to fix, I would rather get it right in the camera.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It also helped where, when I was photographing, I use my iPad, I use a Cam Ranger, which allows me, when I photograph, to wirelessly transmit to the iPad and see the image I'm making right away and show the client right away and get instant feedback. So that was also a huge help, being able to see it nice and large, or larger than what you see in the back of the camera. So that, going back to pre-visualization, that was the exact same thing. I had in my mind what I wanted to make, and now I had to figure out a way to actually make it and mimic what I was asked to do, or photograph what I was asked to do. So it still comes back to the age-old 101 basic photography.
Yeah.
You know, pre-visualize in your head what you want to see, and then make that image. Whether it's film, whether it's digital, whether it's video, whatever the medium, or even if it's painting, whatever it might be.
Well,
I think that is it for this episode.
Thank you for listening.
I learned a lot. Thank you.
Dita, thank you for being our intern.
It was all my pleasure. Thank you for the experience.
You're welcome. And somehow we're going to figure out a way to continue this conversation.
Yep, I can't wait to be back.
Great.
Thank
and with that,
you.
Dita should get the last word.
Yes.
Thank you for everything. It's been a great experience. I've loved doing the podcasts. I've loved writing blog posts. Thank you.
Thank you, and happy shooting.
Bye-bye.